Binary code is the language of computers in which words are translated into sequences of zeros and ones. Anything at all can be expressed in binary, as we demonstrate in this famous scene from The Miracle Worker.
0101001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001001
joined with Jordan.
Hey, what's up?
And Mike.
Hi, we're mocking Morgan.
Yes, of course. They usually are. It doesn't usually start this early in the podcast, but you know what we're going to do.
I think actually we've been doing that
past
the last
weeks,
three or four weeks.
Yeah, no shit.
We just know what he's going to say. It's so adorable. That's why he's the voice.
It's true.
Because we wouldn't be able to hold it together. Our intros would be like, poop joke. At your
end.
And I would prefer our podcast not be, you know, in the similar connotation with fecal matter. You know, try to avoid that.
Well, it depends on how you're taking it. It's like, it could be, like, crappy, or it could be the shit. So it depends on how you're looking at fecal matter.
I sit corrected.
Fecal matter doesn't necessarily have to be negative.
We actually apologize to fecal matter out there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're so willing to apologize to anyone who enjoys fecal blood. No, we don't.
We don't want to do that. Just matter. Just fecal matter. Anyway, so this episode's going to be a little bit different because obviously, you know, our podcast focuses on things like standard and modern, but there wasn't anything that really happened in standard and modern this week. There technically was mocks, and I know that there's some... right, exactly. I know there's some lists out there, and, you know, we'll take a look at those and maybe we'll discuss them, but... You know, that tournament, it may not even be worth it because who knows who was actually at the top list from that
tournament.
Did Kimbo
win it?
No, he wasn't there.
I actually don't care.
Clearly. But, I mean, that is a makeup tournament. It will be reflective of some of the metagame, but not a whole lot. And especially with things like, you know, the daily events actually being suspended, which is something huge that happened. You know, who knows what kind of things are going to happen from that. We are going to talk a little bit about GPDC. Mainly about coverage. We won't really be talking about lists. We'll definitely talk about the winner. And then we're kind of going to move into some... Jordan actually had kind of an experience over the weekend that we want to talk about. And then we have our question of the week that's kind of returning. I know we haven't done that in a while. And then to kind of finish it out with some shout-outs. The usual stuff that you come to find at the tail end of our podcast. So first, let's kind of take a look at GPDC, which was Legacy. Now, it was actually won by Owen Turnwald playing a blue-white Delver-less, blue-white-red Delver-less, excuse me, which has become pretty popular. It's actually become a little more popular than Rug Delver, which is what we typically see as being the prominent Delver list in the metagame. Now, I've heard a lot of back and forth between Rug Delver and blue-white-red Delver as to which one is quote-unquote better. But you can't really argue with the results that this list has kind of put forward. Now, Mike, I know you're probably a little more experienced in Legacy than Jordan and I are. Jordan's actually trying to break into Legacy. He's trying to build elves.
So flipping hard, man.
I know. That's why I haven't done it. But, I mean, like, you're doing it, and it's very admirable.
If you are a Legacy player, this is the statement I'll give you to someone where Jordan's at. Man, that Nettle Sentinel, that card's really good. Paraphrasing a statement from Jordan this week. So he's recognizing good cards are good, but he also didn't know good cards were good. So we're getting there.
Yeah, I figured out the combo, and it was literally like, so did you know if you play these cards and then this card, you like get to do it again, and it's like a combo. Because I play standard, there's no such thing as a combo.
No, not current standard, no, there is no combo decks, really. There were, like, a couple standards ago, last standard, there were some combo-esque decks. Yeah, you had Bird of the Stake. Before that, you even had, like, Kirk Crane's Elf Combo.
Oh, yeah,
deck,
Elf Ball. Before that, you had Splinter Twin, honestly.
Yeah, so. That's true. So, combo being dead has been, like, the past couple of seasons, really.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of sad. Combo's kind of fun to watch.
I mean, as far as... We won't talk too much about lists, but I will say the one thing that I kept hearing on Twitter from all these players doing this, True Name Nemesis is real and may, in fact, have been a mistake.
That is definitely something. I mean, it showed up in a lot of lists at the last Legacy Star City Games event. It shows up here a lot as well, and it's a very powerful card. And I mean, there was an article for it that, that Sam Stoddard wrote that he said we designed this card for Legacy, but this could be a famous Wizards mistake that, that could have happened. I don't know if it's that bad, but there aren't a whole lot of things that really deal with it in the format, so that is a thing.
I mean, they were going for $70 roughly on site?
Yes, $65 to $70, I believe, was the
now, price. This doesn't mean, like, if you do see one at Walmart, you should probably buy one, but it doesn't mean you can easily make $70 back.
No.
But still, I mean, the fact that the room was like, hey, you want to play this card?
Yeah, it's pretty out of stock at $50.
Yeah,
so. That's pretty insane. And yeah, if you find those it's the Grixis Commander deck. So if you find these Mindseize, yeah. So if you find one of those, it wouldn't be a bad idea to pick it up. This is very similar. And unlike things like Scavenging Ooze, this card I don't believe can be printed in Standard. You can't print a card like this in Standard. You can't just do that. Maybe you can. I don't know. What do you think? What do you guys think?
You couldn't print this card Standard.
No way.
I mean, there's just no way you can print this card in Standard.
From players.
They have strived now for years to try and make. Now, I will say that the only counter to this is Hexproof, because I was going to say they strive to make interactive like creature based matches, and then they let Hexproof run rampant because why the hell not? Mm. But this card, I don't know. There's some ways to interact with it. There are, and maybe in Standard it's less fringe to see something like a Golgari Charm, though Golgari Charm made the top 5 cards for GPTC.
That's true, it's a good answer. But Rats are also more prominent in Standard than they are in older formats a lot of times.
That's fair as well, but I still feel like...
you're only out to this card as a Supreme Verdict, right?
Supreme Verdict or -1 effect. I mean, you can't block...
A global -1 effect.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like never being able to target it, not being able to block it, I would really hope they wouldn't do this because it's another blue card that leads to games where you just want to play that and small counter magic and look, you have Delver. Oh wait, is this in the Delver build?
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. All right.
Or you have Callblade. Oh wait,
so and then right? You also have weird things that kind of happen in Modern where it's like, oh, you just got a very powerful Modern Merfolk.
I'll take it Modern. I've been building Merfolk.
I understand that.
I think Draenei Nemesis is Modern.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely an interesting card, and I think the metagame just has a shift to it. I just don't think it's done that yet. It's kind of weird because it almost is like, well, now if you take a look at the only deck that really played Wraths a whole lot, which is like Miracles, like suddenly does that deck pick up popularity? Because you still have the same issues with Bug.
But what's interesting is Abrupt Decay inherently gets worse the more True Name Nemesis is around.
That's true.
So maybe
there's someone inside of Wizards just like, man, I want a blue white red or blue white Miracles to continue being a thing. Who doesn't like playing these low? Hey, it's good for our friend Elliot, right?
I suppose. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Musser, I think, played... he ended up playing Miracles at the GP as well.
All right.
So, but I still think... the way I had this card described, like, best, and I don't remember who it was on Twitter, so sorry for not, citing my sources. But essentially, it was, like, against the unfair decks, like, they still don't care about True Name Nemesis. Like, it presents the same clock that Tarmogoyf presented.
Sure.
But against the fair decks, it is the most unfair card. So, yeah. like Bug just can't do anything about this. They could hope to Liliana, what I mean? But that's about it.
That seems brutal, because, like, I don't know. I feel like when I see combo decks, I'm like, oh, that's cute and adorable, and it's just, like, this doesn't seem like a lot of fun, because you're just, like, hoping to get your combo off first before the other guy, if they're playing a combo deck. Or if they're playing against a fair deck, you're like, oh, it doesn't even matter. I'm just going to do things that are unfair, and it's going to make you kind of sad inside if you don't have any ways to interact with me. So to have something that doesn't... to have something in the format that's introduced that only affects, the fair decks, then it's just like, well, what are you trying to push here, Wizards? It's like, where are you trying to shift the metagame? Because this card is a metagame shifter. But, I mean, you see decks like Bant become more popular. Those are just creature-based decks. So that's kind of interesting where... We see this show up. But yeah, so, we do see that the three amigos, if you will, Winter, World, Reed Duke, and Hugh Jensen have now all won GPs in the past year. So clearly, we just have to, match their stride and really, form a strong friendship and a bond and also be amazing Magic players. And then we can win just some GPs, guys. What do you say? What do you think?
I was actually waiting for the perfect moment to do this. I got us each our own inscribed Rings of Power.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, my God. Sauron's going to be pissed. We can wear them while we conquer our GPs.
I really hope
our
so.
Our dream GPs, because that's not going
to happen. I mean, that's fine. It's okay. I mean, GP Sixth in March. Well,
you know,
let's do it.
You know what, though? Big shout-out to Columbus native Riley Curran for going X3 and missing top eight by...
A bunch.
Yeah, well, by a bunch. Like, he could have X2'd. Like, I believe he was in a winning in for top eight based on breakers. Just got show and tell right out of the game.
Yeah, that was pretty awful. I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Riley's definitely a solid guy. You know, one of the masters of elves along with Chris Anderson. As far as I go, what?
I was talking about, like, the one ring joke, and it's like, Riley's the master of elves. He has a ring of power.
Listen,
too.
He plays that deck real good, all right? Real good. Anyway, no, he is definitely someone that you could talk to about that deck, and he would be able to show the ins and outs, 100%.
That's who I'm talking to.
Exactly.
He hasn't opted to do hard, right?
Well, no, I asked him how to play the deck, and I asked him how to sideboard, and he goes, well, let's not talk about sideboarding until we know how to win with just the main board. he spent about 30 minutes explaining it to me, and, like, I knew, like, four decks in Legacy. And pretty much after minute 10, I was nodding my head and going, sure. But he's a great help. Like, I didn't see so many combos or so many things you could do until I talked to him. And he's just like, oh, yeah, like, then this. And then, you know, you started thinking on your own about the deck, which was pretty sweet. So definitely a good guy and definitely glad that he did. Probably not as well as he would have hoped, but well.
Yeah, still a good showing. And he's been pretty good at showing, you know, being pretty consistent. He came in 33rd at the Invitational, which is kind of awkward, but you know, still very strong. And
they got cash for that still.
Yeah, they do that too. But you know, still definitely a strong Legacy player.
And he won SCG Columbus in the summer, right?
Yeah.
So
and the Legacy portion.
Yeah.
So definitely a strong player. Maybe we'll have him on sometime. I don't know if he could be serious enough though. He's kind of a troll. But we love him.
You'd actually love him, guys. He's the best.
I don't know what our podcast would consist of, because I don't know how much of it would be real and how much of it would be trolling. So who knows?
He'd actually probably record from underneath the table.
Probably. Just like, he'd probably ask for a toll.
This bridge like is a combustible gun.
So, I mean, that, do you guys want to add anything else? We want to talk about coverage,
yeah,
right?
So we've just spent this whole amount of time predicating that we're not the best at Legacy. None of us play a lot of Legacy.
No.
And you know, all three of us still know that the coverage was garbage.
Right. Now, okay, so I'm going to actually, you know, be thrown up. I didn't watch any of the coverage, so I'm going to let Mike and Jordan
You're
talk about
it. You're
not
any worse
this.
Off.
I was probably better for not watching any of it from what I hear.
Okay. Marshall Sutcliffe. You were great at table side interviews. You were terrible in the booth. Like, so he's going to play this card, which will probably deal 3 damage to an opponent. Oh, is that what a lightning bolt does, Marshall? Thank you for your input.
Well, okay, I don't know how much you can criticize him for small comments. I get annoyed by those comments, too, but it is still supposed to be catered to the newer players. The problem is you're dealing with a format that inherently can't cater to new players.
Right.
Like, I don't want to give him too much of a pass here. Commentating on this format is hard. You know what I mean? If you're doing standard, like right now, I mean, you have five sets with the core set of cards to look at. And within those cards, it's probably about half those cards you're ever going to see play in a major tournament.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, you don't have to know as much, but you have to know a ton to sit in the booth for Legacy. And I'm sorry, if you don't know the format, don't sit down. Tell them you need someone else to do this. Don't try your best, because you sound dumb.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, what was... Dave Nolan's example was, you know, we're watching Riley play against the show and tell deck, and the guy and Marshall goes, these are two really non-interactive decks, as Riley's opponent leads off with Sot Cities, and then Riley responds with, you know, next turn Cabal Therapy, which are both very interactive cards.
Well, no, sitting there, not Sot Cities. Show and Tell does play Sot Cities.
No, the Show and Tell...
They were playing interactive.
Yeah, Show and Tell can force a will and protect its cards.
Riley Thought Cities and Cabal Therapy, sorry. Yeah.
Probably have Cabal Therapy.
You have Thoughtseize too. You know, sideboard.
I play
75. Yeah.
But either way, it's just like, you know, you're making that, you know, your point stands. It's like, well, they just really have no way to interact with each other, making this combo.
As they're interacting.
It's like, Ryan, it's like, let me write down your hand so I know how to play this matchup based off this Cabal Therapy that is interacting with my opponent.
Right.
Now, not interacting in the same sense. They're not fair decks. Neither of them are fair decks. You're not going to, like, Doomblade a guy mid-combat or anything like that.
Right.
But to... I don't know. I think because Legacy is so nuanced, you know, to again, we're trying to bring it down to newer players, so I get this to some extent, but trying to, like, reduce these decks, like, show and tell isn't just, like, shuffle it up and hit your show and tell. Like, you are crafting the hand to do it. You have to be intimately aware of board state, everything you're playing around. I mean, having sat in, you know, the Invitational a few weeks ago and played, I mean, the highest level Legacy I'll probably ever play, you know what I mean, against pilots who are much greater than me, you know. I made some mistakes, didn't play around things I should have known. But it was a Geistling Trap, the Stifle that I talked about, where he stifled the exile trigger on the Angel Token. I had never seen this interaction before. These are some cards, they're cards I know what they do.
What? I remember that story, but what?
But I'm just saying, like, I know what Stifle does in a bubble. I know what Geistling Trap does in a bubble. Right. But until you see certain cards work together, until you see certain decks play against each other, you can sit there and say, well, okay, like in a combo match, I want to log into a hand that has like a Thoughtseize and a Force of Will, right? But then, like, I play against a game against a combo deck that I kept a handful of discard spells, and he's like, well, you know, here are these ley lines, you know, in the opener. You know, I haven't played the matchup enough to be like, oh, right, I guess I should try to keep a better balanced hand. You know what I mean? And this may seem obvious if you're good at Legacy, but the problem is you're just, you know, these coverage commentators are worse than what I'm describing. They're just like, the combo decks, they try to go off as fast as possible.
And, turn three is a good time for them, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes they go off on turn two.
Well, that was one of the things, because, like, Rashad was like, yeah, an elf deck is a really hard time going off on turn two. I don't think we'll see him win this turn. And that was it. Like, he didn't throw his co-commentator any kind of lead. His co-commentator didn't even pick up the slack. They were just like, yeah, excellent point, Rashad.
Yeah, and I think Mike kind of hit it on the head when he said that Legacy is just not an easy format to understand. For new players, and what commentators are supposed to do, they're supposed to break down the game, make it easy to digest for people who are watching, and they may be people like us that know the game, you know, very well, very intimately, or there could be new players.
Are you saying that's who they're breaking down for?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that's what that breaking down is for, and like, we obviously get annoyed with it, like, well, we know this, we know what's going on, maybe even better than what the commentators are presenting, but it is very Legacy is super super hard to break down.
Yeah,
because you have to know. I feel like with Legacy, you almost have to know like all of the cards in Legacy to even understand what's going on.
Sure,
and you're just like, oh, well, this there's some weird cards that are that play in like the Omnitel list that you don't see anywhere else. Like there's what's that ants card that they play?
Oh man,
I can't remember.
The one, God.
But anyway, it's
ants, right?
Yeah, release the ants.
Yeah, deal one clash.
Yeah.
So people start talking about this card in this test, and I was like, I have no idea what that does. And I look up the card and just like, oh, what does this do? And like, until you understand how Omnitel works and like everything that you can do with it, you don't understand the relevance of that card and everything like that. So it's very hard to be like, okay, well this is what every card in Omnitel is, and this is why it's important. And like, you don't have that in standard. Standard's like, well, Doomblade's good because it kills creatures. Like, it's super easy to break down.
But the answer to this, then, is who you have in the booth. Yeah. Now, sure. Generally, in any sports situation, you have two, right? You have generally a former player,
okay, sure,
who knows the game very, very well. And then you have your color commentator, who's able to turn it into a story, turn it into something entertaining, sure, to watch. I don't know who's supposed to be who in the booth for Wizards.
Right,
but
I mean,
the only time you ever have any of that is when you have, like, Kibler in the booth or LSV in the booth. And then they're, like, both all wrapped into one.
I know, it's very nice. But see, the thing is, and Kibler actually brought this up in his article. He actually, you know, wrote an article about coverage, and wrote an article about GPs, I should say. Coverage was a portion of it. He said that, you know, with most sports, like you said, you have someone that's a former player. Well, with Magic, you don't necessarily have that advantage because former players, you know, in sports have to retire due to, you know, wear and tear on their body. Wear and tear, guys. It's a Magic card. All right, I'll move on. I'm sorry. They just gave me a look like, shut the fuck up, Mark. Anyway, wear and tear on their bodies or something of that nature. But you don't really have that in Magic. You don't really have that Magic. If your mind can process what's going on the table, you're probably wanting to play rather than wanting to talk about it. So I thought that was a very good point.
What's the counterpoint to this, though? Why does somebody who just retired, you know, decide, you know, so they retire from the NFL, okay?
Sure.
And they're like, Ray Lewis did this year. High-profile player, won 2 Super Bowls, made a ton of money. He's on the Xbox One commercial right now. That guy's making bank.
Sure.
Why? So what draws him back to ESPN?
Because they're going to pay him?
Because they're going to pay him more buku bucks. And at some point, Wizards has to, you know, this is the problem with the system. Like, Wizards, we keep saying, when I say we, I mean the community, the collective Magic players, it was the same problem with the MOTA thing. Well, it's like, well, Wizards really needs to fix this. No, they don't, because they're making so much money. The fact that they are fixing it is nice, because they literally could just say, I mean, why? You're still paying us the money to do this every day.
Your economic vote.
We had, like, they had 1,700 players show up for a Legacy GP in Washington, D.C. I mean, that's astronomical for Legacy. You know, sure. That's a big number. That's a big number for most GPs right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Heck, there was a thing, Kibler posted a picture. I think it was his own, like, Planeswalker points thing or something. I don't remember. But, like, he's played in a PTQ. I'm sorry. He won a GP. I think it was Toronto, one of the early GPs. He won a GP that has many players in it as day two of this GP day. So it's huge. So it's like, well, you need to fix this and get better people on here. And Wizards like, well, why? You're coming here in record numbers. Why should we care? And what's frustrating is that I shouldn't even think that. ESPN makes a ton of money, and they start to better their content every day. And I would hope that that's not the stance that Wizards is taking. But it sort of feels like, you know, but like, seriously, like, you had Chris Pikula in the booth for the Vintage Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's the voice you want in there. I mean,
true.
I mean, he knows every card. You know what I mean?
He's even on some cards.
actually, it wasn't like, I think he was like talking about Holly. Let me look at Turnwald's list here. Yes, that would be 4 Meddling Mage in the sideboard.
Correct. So. And it was a funny Twitter interaction. Someone told him to look up the Gatherer link to Meddling Mage. He was like, never. Because the funny thing is, Meddling Mage was originally his invitational card, but has now since been reprinted
with
different people on it, which is awkward.
In the Alara block, they did it. Well, it's actually a woman now, which is
even more awkward.
I mean, granted, she's all better looking than Pike. You look at her, wish to be. So.
Well, I mean, like, that's our preference. I don't know.
Nah, I don't think. Yeah, anyways,
not even. All right, fun.
Sorry, Chris Pagula.
Sorry to all the Chris Pagulas out there.
I really, you know, obviously you can't just ask him to do this because he wanted to play. I mean, he wants to qualify the Pro Tour again. He wants to get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But you've got a bunch of these Hall of Famers who have kind of got back into the game. They're not going to everyone. You know what I mean? We're going to European GPs. You know, why wouldn't you look at, like, you know, Frank Carson, who's been going around and be like, hey man, you know, you're already going to this Pro Tour. You know what I mean? Are you planning on going to the next Pro Tour? Sure, okay. You don't care about Platinum.
Yeah.
Here's money to make sure that your Pro Tour trip is easy. Come to our commentary.
Right.
Why wouldn't you have that happen? You know, that's the credibility that needs to go up. And then, you know, we're still going to get bad statements. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, in our show chat, as Riley's playing Elves, like, he casts Cabal Therapy, and his opponent goes, okay, turn one, grab Trigger's Cage, passes the turn, and I... Riley goes, like, Elvish Visionary passes the turn. I'm like, well, why didn't he flashback his Cabal Therapy? And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to go through all the things that Graphics Cage does. And I'm like, oh, well, in addition to, because I knew it turned out, and I said this in show chat, I was like, I knew it turned off Zenith, and I knew it turned off, you know, this and the natural order and all that. But in my mind, it was like, oh, that's good enough. I didn't even think about the fact you couldn't cast spells.
Yeah.
You know, maybe those little things are going to happen, but I don't pretend to be an expert, like I see, or the interactions of those decks.
No.
So.
And I don't know, it's kind of weird because, like, how much, like, you take a look at ESPN, you take a look at, like, their broadcasting, and you take a look at all the money they probably make from their broadcasting, obviously. With broadcasting on Twitch, I don't know how much, I don't even know if they make any money from that, you know, necessarily. Obviously, they make some money from the GP.
They don't run enough commercials to make enough money.
Right, exactly. Them, like, so, of people it's kind of awkward, like, obviously, Wizard makes money from other outside things, not just from streaming. And you're alright.
I'm good.
Alright. I'm sorry for all the headphone listeners that Jordan is... It's coughing directly to the mic. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm sure it's just an issue of money. Like, I don't know how it's kind of awkward.
Issue of money, though. I mean, they make okay. So for example, you know, the logic there is that you're never going to make the commentary better, so you're never going to get more viewers to make the advertisements impactful enough to make the money. Sure. You know, look at our own podcast setup here. You know, we did. You know, we had feedback saying, hey, we should sound better. You know, so Jordan goes out and fronts the money and gets this nice, you know, microphone here. We start podcasting together, which, you know, when you guys drive up here today or I drive to your guys' house, that's real gas money. You know what I mean?
Right. True.
No one's paying us that money back yet.
Yet.
You know what I mean?
Listeners. Potential sponsors, hello.
Listeners.
Announcement of announcements are really good for marketing a year.
but in all seriousness, it's not, you know, the idea is that now, obviously, a podcast is different. We're doing this for fun, hoping that, you know, we get some impact out of it. But, like, for them, like, they're going to have to front some cost and get some real, I don't know. The complaints have been there about all these people the whole time. Like, I mean, I personally can't stand listening to Rich Agon. I can't stand listening to the man. Going back to when they were the World Championships and they're drafting Modern Masters and they're going over the various builds in Modern Masters, and it's like, goblins. Goblins focuses on, in this adorable British accent, you know, goblins focuses on small creatures that attack in a swarm. I'm like,
well, it's weird. What? I don't know. I mean, I can understand the complaints about them oversimplifying things, because you can't just go with it like a general idea. Like, everyone knows what American...
He read what the card says.
I understand.
Like, he read the little cue that's like, it's up on the screen already. I'm not watching commentary if I'm blind.
It's weird, because like, in sports commentary, people know about baseball. People in general know what baseball is.
Right.
If you
why
are
you not getting there randomly?
Right. They know what football is. Huh. So
man, this baseball thing, this sure looks exciting. I've never heard of it before, but I'm going to start watching.
But you can't say that about Magic. If you are just a new person tuning in to GP coverage or Pro Tour coverage, you might not know what Magic is.
You just negated what you just said, though. Like,
who does that?
You're not going to just be like, I literally would have never heard of a person who's just like, well, I'm going to fly our Twitch today and see what random eSport I can watch.
Right. But you never know. Like, that has to happen.
Are we appealing to that crowd, though? That crowd of 10 people out of 2,000?
Yeah. Wizard seems to be.
And they're probably high anyways. Let's face it, they're probably high anyways. They're like, Wizard's boring.
I'm a Mario Party boring.
I'm just pointing out that...
from the shard of...
But we don't know Fravica. how many of those people, like, how many people there are of that. We just don't know. We don't have those numbers, neither is Wizards, I don't think.
Okay.
Obviously, most of the people are probably experienced with Magic, but you can't just safely assume.
You're doing
that.
A very, like...
Okay, stop right there after it for a minute and ask this question. Seriously, how many people are you think are randomly doing it?
I don't know.
Morgan McCarl.
I
honestly, how many people are actually doing it?
4,000 people watching a GP. How many of those are randos on Twitch?
Yeah, okay.
I have no idea. I couldn't even think of a number.
Magic is never the featured game on the front page of Twitch. Keep that in mind.
I don't know if that's I've seen Magic on the front page a lot of times on Twitch.
Individual streamers,
you know,
the Pro Tour.
You might see the game itself, right?
You see a link to the Twitch stream. You see, like,
when you log on to Twitch.tv, like, yeah. Magic's Wizards page is not the actual.
During the Pro Tour, it was.
Okay.
During the Pro Tour, it was, because it gets a lot of coverage.
Sure.
GPs are usually on the bottom bar that are, like, the other streams that are popular that are going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes Star City even gets up there.
Maybe.
When there's literally nothing else going on. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying that
that's actually exactly what you're doing is justifying it.
I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
Hey, man, nine folks out of 4,000 really need to know what's going on.
What does Twitch do besides stream games?
I mean, they don't do anything else there. They're an option of just the TV.
Oh, right. So, inherently, by the fact that you typed Twitch into your Google search bar,
sure,
implies that you are already looking for a game, and therefore, you'll have the chance of you never having heard of it. It's like going on there, like, StarCraft? Am I saying that right?
I can understand. All right. So fair enough. We will go with the fact that
Magic.
If you are watching Magic coverage, you at least know what Magic is, but does not mean that you know everything about Magic.
Of course not.
Sure.
It's either the most base commentary in the world, like, well, this guy has flying. Well, this guy has flying and this one doesn't, so it looks like he's going to win. Or it's the other way, where you said, like, they're like, well, I don't know if the elves player can win on turn two. There's no discussion of, well, if he's able to hit these cards and, like, he's really looking for this card as well.
Right.
You know, it's literally either, like, the most simplistic thing in the world, or the implication, like, well, you know why. The viewer who can't see his hand, you know why he can't go off on turn two.
Right.
And then it's like, by the way, I'm crossing my arms and doing the smug sit back. Yeah.
So, I mean, I can understand. I definitely understand all your points, and I agree with all of your points as well. I'm just trying to make the discussion lively. And I think that when you really think about it, how long has sports coverage been around? Like,
I mean, Monday Night Football's been an institution since the 60s.
Sure, and watching football like that. So that's been around for...
Radio coverage since the radio and sports.
Exactly.
Like, oh, we can talk about this while it's happening? And you'll feel like you're here?
So Magic coverage itself has been around for a fraction of that time. So obviously it's got to have some
growing pains.
Maybe. Who knows? I think that it's definitely something they have to put money in, and they definitely have to pick the right people. I think you hit the nail on the head. when you said that, that we would rather have a Pakula than a Sutcliffe we're watching Legacy. But if we're watching Limited, then I would rather have a Marshall.
No, that's fair.
So you have to play...
Like they do that. This is
no, it does
can
not.
Can I vote for never a Mindenhall?
Never a Mindenhall. I want to go back to your metaphor here for a minute, though. So, like, life on this planet has existed for billions of years. And by comparison, humans have only existed for a fraction of that time. So give us a couple billion years before you decide that we're terrible and are destroying the planet.
I'm not saying that what they're doing is going to necessarily increase their happiness of the people that are watching. I'm not saying that.
I don't even know if we're worried about the happiness of those watching now. I think we're in full on retained viewership mode. Sure. Because I don't know if you noticed, but when Kibler says things on his blog,
people listen.
Stuff gets done.
I mean, he.
So it is written. So shall it be.
It's you're not Kibler, wrong.
Not the word of God.
That was what it is.
Yeah, you're not wrong, and I definitely don't disagree with that fact. I don't know. I mean, it's easy for us to just be like, yeah, just throw money at it, just pay people to be there and be the correct commentators. But you know, I don't know what kind of financial situations Wizards in. You know,
that must be dire straits with how little the game has grown in the last few years.
I understand that they have definitely had market growth within the game.
The way I see it, they used to run TV commercials. They don't. They used to run even like certain like web stuff. They don't do as much anymore. You have like Walking the Plains. That's about it. I mean,
and who knows how much funding they actually get from Wizards?
And that's fair. Let's be honest and just say that there's an advertising budget that existed.
Yeah,
right?
It's not there.
It's
not being used.
It's not being used correctly. That's for sure. I mean, Twitch is obviously the way they're going. But I mean, why is it that their ads are literally like a picture of like Card Kingdom?
Right.
It's bringing you coverage of the Pro Tour, and it's Marshall Sutcliffe reading that over a cue card. But, like, Cedric Phillips gets up from his stream to go to the bathroom, hits a button, we get, like, an actual commercial with, like, you know, like, video and narration, and he comes back and he's like, oh, commercial over, and it's like, so this guy's sitting in his home, literally, in his home, he just went to piss. So, I mean, has better advertising potential than Wizards of the Coast?
It's definitely odd, and I think an internet medium is definitely weird, and who knows how they monetize that. But you definitely are right that they don't necessarily they make profit.
I know how they monetize it. It's in views and clicks.
To be fair, Twitch TV did partner with CBSi Interactive, and that's been really big for their advertising game. Now, the same thing you said, why isn't Wizards reaching out to CBSi and going,
right.
Hey, I mean, like,
things could be done, things aren't being done. I mean, I guess for now, let them work with Moto, and
yeah, they definitely have a lot on their plate on stuff, and it's really. Interesting, because I don't think they've really been pushed by their player base recently as much as they have been now, where they were demanding, like, hey, fix this.
Yeah.
There's so many of us now. We all want to use this. Please, fix this.
That's a fair point. You know, with the growth comes this you know, voice that maybe you didn't have, or could be easier to, you know, because
easier to snuff out.
Literally,
yeah.
Wizard's explanation for everything is, like, you know, like, we're working on it, you know, things will happen in due time. And it's like other companies since the inception of, especially Magic Online, but since Magic itself, you know, not paper Magic so much because there's not really competition, not that counts. You know what I mean?
No.
But like online, and I think, and Kibler might have talked about this a little
bit. Oh,
yeah,
Kibler definitely talked about this at MGGO.
I mean, since then, you've had just the rise of Blizzard alone, where they're just like, oh, you have a problem? Talk to one of our live GMs we're paying so you can, you know, and it's just like, you know, the GMs and Moto were like,
yeah,
that
works. Yeah.
Well, let me link you to a page where you can wait 3 days for product reimbursement. I'm sorry you had an issue. You know, and it's like, cool. Thanks.
Yeah. You know, definitely things where the growth of the game is breaking infrastructures that they've built in.
Right.
And where they just have to fix it. They didn't have this years ago.
I mean, they had the PTQ this last weekend, and you the people who got in the PTQ, it's a new PTQ.
Yeah.
Right? That's the way it works. Like, they literally don't have the memory save from the PTQ last week to give people the same pulls back, or even recognize the deck that they registered. Which seems insane to me. Like, you get a new pull? Like, if you were X2 or better, you get into this new event, right? Meaning, if you were X2, you're already dead for top 8, and now you're alive for top 8 again because of this crash? Oh, and here's your new pull. Like, what? Like, like, if you're the undefeated guy, like, you can't be okay with that.
Oh, right. No, not at all. Like, I have
to... Because in Theros, more likely you were undefeated because of the bombs you had.
Yeah, most
you know
certainly.
I mean? So I just...
Yeah, it's insane. And, you know, it's a good thing that they're doing some things to fix it. The scary thing is that we were talking about this last night. The the next series of PTQs got released through around March. There are some outliers.
Yeah,
for four PTQs. But for North America, it's through March 9th, I think. No Magic Online PTQs.
Not a single one list?
And there probably won't be. I fully believe that there won't be any Magic Online PTQs.
I mean, you said that. I was shocked, but I thought about it since then. And you're probably right. They would have to, if they have new... Even if they managed to set up new servers and a better system for, storing and coordinating their data from these events, they're going to have to beta it on, And they... I feel like if it's like, hey, we're going to do this PTQ, there's a good chance it'll crash. Come plan it. You know what I mean? And it's like, they won't be able to do it and actually offer a Pro Tour invite because it won't be a credible Pro Tour invite.
Right.
And we're not going to be able to get people to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, look at all the free reimbursements they had to do and all the stuff they had to give away during their first beta client trial of this new one.
But,
hey, here's free Cube Tuesday. Our bad. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So...
So, yeah, and they're not even ready to make an announcement about the online situation until near the end of the year. So, if they're not ready to say anything right now, then there's just not going to be any online PTQs, which hurts a lot of people. But it obviously is hopefully for the greater good. That's what we want. I don't know if I can get behind version 4 yet, but I definitely want a more stable Magic.
That's terrible. It's not terrible. I said this before, but... I've grown accustomed to the beta client space.
If it ran fine on my, machine that can run things, run high-end games fine, then that would be great. But it doesn't for some reason, and I don't know why.
Probably because the computer's a whore.
No. Computer's not a whore.
Oh, no.
It has a list of shareware, all its wares.
It let me push its buttons, and it didn't even try to stop.
You've never even touched my computer.
Did you overclock the hard drive?
I overclock.
That doesn't even make it. You overclock a hard drive. You overclock a
CPU.
A CPU.
No, you turn the fan faster with your finger.
I don't know what you do to your computer, but it seems very pleased.
I overclocked the hard drive. What are you missing about this?
I plugged some cables into your motherboard.
Wow. Hey. Okay, we're getting too deep here, guys. We gotta get out.
That's what your motherboard said too.
This is about a RAM joke here. We're missing it.
Yeah, there's gotta be. I don't know.
Anyways, so we kind of rambled up to the end.
We did. So you have coverage, obviously coverage is, I feel like for months that's all everyone's talked about and then suddenly had a demand to improve. I actually think Star City Games is a really good job, surprisingly, and I think that Wizards should take a note out of their book and actually encourage people to want to commentate, which means giving them money. So give people money.
They're also employees, like they.
Some of them are.
Most of them are.
Or at least writers. I agree that most of them are at least.
But
writers.
A lot of these guys would be playing. I mean, like an Adrian Sullivan, that guy would normally be playing, but they pay him the right amount of money to spend his time doing that.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
Cedric Phillips, he could be playing every time he does. They pay him the right amount of money.
Well, they also have him under employee.
But I'm still saying like.
He would rather probably be playing.
If he said, he's the editor-in-chief, I said, I want to play this one, they could probably be like, well, okay. But they have this planned out, well in advance as
well.
Very true. Their commentators are going to be, Star City uses that as an attraction. Like, hey, come to this event. Oh, by the way, these people are going to be there.
Right.
And then, for a lot of people, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Wizards just kind of like, well, the usual suspects of trash will be here.
Well, that's the thing is with in the StarCraft background, there were tournaments that you know, people will be familiar with the name Day 9 or like DJ Wheat or something like that. There would be tournaments you wouldn't watch if there was a no-name commentator. Like, I love the game of StarCraft more than I probably like Magic, but I wouldn't just sit and listen to two nobodies cast StarCraft. Having, a Sean Plott or, a DJ Wheat there just made tournaments happen. I'm much more apt to watch Cedric Phillips just cast team with Adrian Sullivan or Osip.
Right.
But, when they're like, oh, yeah, Rashard Mendenhall and... What's the heftier African American guy's name?
Are you thinking of Rashad Miller?
Rashad Miller, yeah. Rashad Miller
not Fat Albert.
No. Rashad Miller and then like Marshall Sutcliffe. I'm not watching that. But anyway, so onto
that. I didn't mean that racistly. It didn't come out that way.
Hey, we want to transition.
Oh, man, how many people were you offended with this podcast? I would just, sorry, everyone. Let's go ahead. And,
so all our ethnic viewers, apparently.
This is not meant in offense, and actually in humor, so hopefully that's not offensive. Moving on.
If it is, you're not wrong. But
if it is, hey, if you don't want to listen to us, that's okay. I guess. We'll miss you. Seriously. So we'll go ahead. We'll transition over to there was a PTQ. It was a sealed PTQ here in Columbus, and none of us played in it. we instead played in the IQ, and the IQ was rough. Mike, I know, had to leave early. Jordan and I went X2 drop. Because it was a little, and we go. I'm used to losing at this point in time due to my work schedule, and I have been able to play a lot of events lately, so I'm a bit rusty. What? Did you say incompetence?
I did.
I am incompetent at playing Magic, that's correct. So I'm stealing the credence that you lend to this podcast. I'm sorry. We even each other out, right?
That's bad, right? Because I'm like tilting the boat one direction. You two are weighing it down on the other side.
Jordan's in the middle. I would like to say that Jordan's in the middle.
Jordan's on the edge about to jump in.
Yeah. Well, that's kind
of Jordan almost quit Magic on Saturday.
So that's kind of the story. So Jordan, kind of tell us your mindset of what kind of now there is an article about this on atyourinstab.com. So I do still encourage you to read the article. This is a bit more of a, you know, kind of an in-depth, first-hand,
sure,
sort of verbal account of it.
Yeah, so Saturday we played this IQ. If you read the article, you'll see. I won't detail that like I did in the article there. But I haven't been playing the best Magic in the past, like, month. I haven't been playing as much as I have been, but the times I have been playing have been, like, 0-2 drops or 1-2 drops. And generally pretty frustrating. We were all sitting down and kind of having, like, this little team meeting before the IQ started, mostly complaining about how it started late. Wasn't much actual play going on. But we're sitting there talking about it, and I just made the offhand comment. I was like, oh, if I go 0-2 drop, I'm probably going to sell my standard cards, by the way. And everybody's like, kind of like, what? Like, that's dumb. And, like, kind of, I think everybody thought I was like, kind of kidding. But, like, in my heart of hearts, I was really freaking serious. Like,
not funny.
Like, I was just in this really, really bad mood.
It wasn't
general.
A bad mood. It was like, we're like, hey, this. And he's like, hey, you die. And we're like, yeah. Like, oh, well.
Yeah, like, sure. Morgan made some offhand comment about, like, something, I don't even remember, and like, I snapped at him hard, and like, I was like, yeah, and then Morgan, and Mike's like, so what's wrong, like, I don't want to talk about it, even though I brought it up, and said like 30 words, I don't want to talk about it, I was like a woman, it was terrible.
Wow, okay, well, hold on, let's roll it, I'm sorry to all our female listeners, Jesus Christ.
Listeners?
You white male Anglo-Saxons, you're okay so far. But yeah, so I determined that I needed to at least win one match in this flipping tournament. I win the first two rounds to what I think I played. I think I played well. I think, Mike and Morgan kind of talked me off an edge enough. And then I went 0-2 the next two rounds to Mono Blue Devotion while I was playing Esper. And I just kind of lost. And sideboarded incorrectly, maybe, looking back on it. But it was pretty upsetting. Definitely not in a good place. And,
excuse us.
It was pretty upsetting. Like, I kind of had a bad rest of the night. We went out to eat, and I was kind of like, I was in a fine mood because we were eating. But I went home. I was pretty bitter. I kind of didn't really talk to anybody. Kind of had a weird Sunday. I'm still not sure how I feel mentally about the game. Like, I'm going to play Modern tomorrow, and hopefully I win, and that'll make me happy on the inside. But I don't know.
I don't know. It's a very like interesting and like compelling thought, because obviously I think that you and I as two different players, we definitely take losing a little bit differently.
I'll say
I'm not a very tilty player, at least outwardly. I definitely am a more of a person that is someone to take the blame onto themselves as far as like making bad plays, because I know that. I don't.
Well, I don't think I'd put the blame on anybody else. I was like, yo, Mike, you're the problems with my Magic. I said in my article, I suck at Magic. I don't know what you mean by that.
No, but I mean, like, you... I mean, it's definitely something that I definitely internalize.
Oh, sure, you don't express it as much.
No, I don't, yeah.
Unless he's hungry, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, don't catch me on a hungry day.
Oh, God.
It's bad.
That'd be a great story for a later day.
But I definitely internalize a lot of my strife, and I don't let it bleed out into, like, me being, like, outwardly aggressive.
I guess I'm more emotional.
Yeah, and I just kind of like, oh, well, you know, that happened, whatever, let's move on.
Yeah,
sure. And that's, in general, just how I am in my life. I'm very, you know,
internalized.
I just don't let things like bug me as much. I just kind of let it slide off my back. And I also know that I don't dedicate enough time to the game to necessarily be as good as I would, I don't want to say want to be, because then that kind of is a circular kind of thing. It's like, well, you don't dedicate enough time to be as good as you want to be, so you won't ever be as good as you want to be, so you won't dedicate more time. It's kind of weird, but anyway. I definitely know that I could be better if I dedicated more time to the game, and I just don't. Because I just don't always have the time to do so. But I think with you, you definitely have your feelings more on your sleeve, and you definitely kind of put them out there a little bit more. Also, I think we set different expectations for ourselves.
Sure.
Because I know you're a very competitive person. You used to do sports in high school, things like that.
Yeah.
And that you have a very much so a win. Or, like, second is just
I hate
first
losing,
last place.
Right, I hate losing more than I like winning.
Exactly. And I think I'm not a very competitive person. I actually don't know why I play Magic. I guess I just, like, hang out with friends and stuff like that.
Cards are pretty.
But I definitely know that you have that competitive sort of aspect about you, which definitely lends itself to allow you to tilt a little bit more.
Yeah, sure. And that's definitely what the past month has been, especially Saturday, was just tilt. Like, I lost that round against Mono Blue because I sideboarded wrong, and then, like, I played Mono Blue the very next round and sideboarded just the exact same way, and, like, I even was like, didn't work last time, but hell with these Blood Barons, I don't need them in my deck, and, like, that's a really good card against Immutable, by the way. Tissue Run Certain, Blood Baron's pretty sweet.
So you're saying a creature is good against a creature? It's crazy.
A bigger creature is good against a smaller creature.
Also, one that has lifelink? Oh, man, I wouldn't have never guessed.
Who knew? But so like that was kind of what it was like. Honestly, just straight tilt. I was offering people like 400 bucks for my Esper deck right now. Like,
450. Yeah, he was literally going. I was there with him.
Morgan took me to Subway to calm me down. I'm like, on the way back, he's like, "Yeah, don't sell your deck." And like the very next person I saw, I was like, "Hey, Esper deck for 400 bucks, sleeve box and all." And like it was not good.
It was definitely interesting because I think that we all kind of have our times with the game. Where we're just like, we just don't win. And we just feel are just questioning why we're even playing the game. Like, what are we even doing with our lives? Why are we dumping all this money and
time and
energy? Well,
that's it. I always said, Tali, you said you don't play as much as you want to. I'm kind of playing a ton. Right. Like, you know, Mike and me are kind of playing on the same amount of rate. Like, Cockatrice a lot. We don't play a whole lot right now.
I'm going to be very honest, not nearly as much as you play.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I play a ton, right? Like, I play Emoto a lot, play Cockatrice. Play in weekly events like not FNM in addition to FNM.
Right.
And like I had this bad run in like a format that like it's the format we play. Right. You know? And that was kind of just like, what am I doing? Like I could go get a second job and just make money, you know? Or like I could get a girlfriend. That sounds like it's a novel idea. But
just so everyone knows, you can't have a girlfriend / wife / partner and still play Magic just fine.
High five for the podcast for those who do.
By the way, I didn't have five. In case you were curious. But, I have a teddy bear. His name is Wrinkles. But,
his name is Wrinkles.
Anyway.
Cut.
Done. Out. I did want to thank, like, you know, Mike and Morgan, and then, you know, Elliot and Matt Suggett, you know, who everybody but Matt's been on the show in one form or another, just because Elliot loses his top 8 match of the PTQ. Like, he's in top 8, he loses. You know, we're bullshitting with him. Like, hey, man, you suck, whatever. And he actually just, like, takes the time after he loses top 8 to tell me that it's going to be fine. And that, like, things that I'm doing wrong are fixable. And then he's going to help me. And I was super impressed by Elliot. And that, like, dude, I would, like, based on, like, on the way I am, like, losing is, like, I hate losing more than I like winning. If I lost in the first round of a PTQ top 8, I would be unconsolable.
Right.
Right, like a rage of anger and fury and then alcohol. Like, it would just like, be the worst thing ever. And Elliot took some time to say, hey, it's going to be fine. And then you guys the same way. Like, hey, you're not going to win games when you're this upset going into them. You know, this is what Mike said to me before, the first round of the IQ. And then Matt on the way home was like, well, if you want to stop sucking, you should probably just not. like coming from Matt, it's been a lot. You know, it's just like you'll be fine. Like, so it's interesting. You know, Dave was Pro Points was kind of saying he's been there before on these bad runs, and he just was like, "I'm the worst Magic player ever," and he's the best Magic player in our group. By hands
I've out. Seen the meltdowns; they're pretty hilarious.
Like involving yelling at children at game day, right? Is that
doesn't even do anything? It's stupid. Dave. It's literally casual, like, kids' day. I don't care. Don't bring that trash in here. Dave, you lost. I know. It makes it worse.
So like, this is like introvert Dave Nolan who like...
This is Dave who went to
Dublin for the Pro Tour. Yeah, like three-time Pro Tour Dave Nolan. Yeah, so that made me feel a lot better. Then on the way to Barley's, like, he had like the most awkwardly timed thing. He goes, Jordan, do you want to be my Padawan? I was like, no, Dave, I don't want to be your Padawan. And he was like, but I want a Padawan. And like, we just had a lot of chuckle. And,
I mean, they said that Anakin Skywalker is too old to be a Padawan, and you're definitely older than that kid.
Yeah,
yeah, so definitely. You would so turn to the dark side, just saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the floor here, seeing as my moniker is Big Tears, and I got it honestly. You know, I'm sitting there listening to you, and I listened to you on Saturday, and I knew exactly where you were, because I got there myself. And right. So I got the nickname, and there's something I want to talk about, and you mentioned it before, and when you get to this point, when you play this much, and you test this much, I think... For you, first of all, like I played this game for a very long time. Whether it's competitively or not, I played the game for a very long time. So for me, I didn't feel the compulsion to like be immediately better. Like if I'm actually trying to get better one time, whatever else. But I feel like you have like sort of tried to skyrocket, so to speak. Like you're like, I just started the game like 2 years ago, and now I should be the best.
Not even. Well, the thing is the group that I hang out with. Like, I hang out with you and Dave.
It's a group of good players. Group of good players.
And me. Group of good players and me.
Morgan comes every once in a while. Yeah, I see him pretty much a podcast. That's all. Now.
but the idea here is, like, there's an arrogance that comes with this. And you mentioned that as well, where you sit down from an opponent and you look at them and you're like, well, I should beat this scrub. Or you look at them because they're a kid and you're like, well, I should beat this kid. And then
and you
when and you don't, you...
Sometimes they just have to lava axes.
Oh man, but in all seriousness, like you know, you lose games to Landscrew, you lose games to, I mean, you misjudged your opponent. They're a really good player. You know, some people try to slow roll you like that, like oh man, how are you doing? Like, all right, go, and you're like, well, wait, just what happened? There's like a cloud now. You know what I mean? And the problem is though, I'm going to be very blunt here. I would assume those matches you say you should win because of how a player was playing or whatever they were doing. The arrogance you're feeling in that moment and the anger that you're feeling because of it probably blinds you to the fact that they're not as bad as you think they are, or the matchup is not as good as you think it is. Every person sitting across from you does not have a net deck. You know, they can be playing similar. You know, we can look at our one buddy who's getting back to the game, you know, Beecher, who's playing Devotion, but he's playing Blue Devotion, and you can play that match entirely wrong. You know, because you're like, oh, it's Devotion, and you get Cyclonic Rift, and you're just like staring at the board, and you're like, well, that's, you know, you're in your rage, you're going to go, well, that's BS, I shouldn't have lost that. In all reality, that's the card that's going to win that match for him, and it turns the tide of the matchup. In the IQ, you know, I played now, I was on the best state of mind either that day, my wife was sick, so I was kind of hanging out to go back to the hospital. But my round one, my opponent played two Soldiers of the Pantheon on consecutive turns off of planes, and I had a choice in what removal spell I was going to play, and I decided to play around Brave the Elements because I assumed he was on either the Boros or the White-Black Aggro deck. So I played a Lightning Strike, keeping my Magma Jack safe from the, you know, I want to keep the Scry trigger. Okay? His next turn, proceeded to play a Temple of Silence. Okay? And I was like, oh, okay. And then in the next turn, played another Black, you know, Black Land or Swamp, I think. Just a Swamp, I think. I don't know if it's Swamp or Godless Shrine. Either way, and Heroes Downfall is my guy. This is a totally different deck than I thought I was playing against, and he plays Obsidot the next turn, and I needed the Lightning Strike to be able to kill the Obsidot, because now I have a 2-damage burn spell that I can team up with another 2-damage, you know, like, it wouldn't let me trade, and I made that mistake early on in the matchup, okay? Now, older me, okay, Big Tears me, would be like, well, I just didn't draw what I needed to draw. But, like, I was really happy, I didn't even win the match, but if you've talked to me afterwards, I said, oh, I already knew that was a bad matchup. And I played it incorrectly based off the information in the first hand. Okay? That could be bad luck. Like, man, well, he had that opener that just looked like this. Or, well, I should have drawn... It happens. You've got to really... You know, the thing I can say the most is really clearing your mind. We had a comment on your post where that was the gist of their idea, was also telling you to kind of clear your mind. The other part about, you know, also playing perfect sounded way too much like a Wedding Crashers rule for me. Like, no excuses, play like a champion. But... And perfection, I don't think is attainable. As I said to you, like, you can't just play perfect because you can play perfect and lose,
and it won't feel perfect.
And
it won't
feel perfect, and you may actually not. I surmise it's actually nearly impossible to play perfect. You can think you play perfectly, but you just don't. You know what I mean? You have no idea. Like, I mean, I guess if you're playing a game where you know the entire contents, like in order of your opponent's library and their hand, then you could by definition play perfectly. But it's not like chess. You can't memorize the moves. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's definitely a point to this, taking your emotions out of it. Understand how you lost. You were tilting. You said it was full tilt. You're not understanding why you lost. You are saying things like, "Well, I should just win this matchup." Or I think it was the 50K where you had the picture of the guy with the three or four miscutter hydras.
Yeah, fuck that game.
That's bad luck. You know what I mean?
Right.
But as I tried to say to you then, and you brushed it off then because you were mad, and the whole point that card even exists in his deck is to do that to you. Should he see all four at exact time? Hell no. And that's bad luck, and that can make you angry. But you can't say that you should have won the match, because you shouldn't have, because he saw more sideboard cards than you. Guess what? He's going to win that game.
Right.
That's how the game works. It's not easy. I've really had to work on it. My wife harasses me all the time, because I've looked at things outside of Magic as like, you know what? Turn off big tears here for a little bit. Think about this. And she's done it too, which is hilarious. You know what I mean? You really have to be able to separate and go, okay, why did this happen? You know, we both are... I'm a traffic rager. You know what I mean? Like, God, why? Go faster! Go to the... I can't control that car. I can't control the lights. At some point, you have to stop, or you're going to have a heart attack. Your blood pressure is going to go through the roof. Right? We're both already fat, man. We can't afford this. You've got to look at the game differently. Now, if that means taking a break, okay? Yeah. I mean, if you're going to take a break from the game, this is the time to do it. You know, this is the time of year where you'll see family. You'll have ostensibly less chances to go and play anyways.
Right.
It's also the time of year where we'll probably be at your house more, though, because it's cold outside, so, But, you know... I think the other aspect that I want to talk about this on here, you know what I mean? I don't want to take over the whole conversation here, but I think it's something that we have access to I didn't have access to when I was in high school, and I know Dave didn't have access to, you know, for the most part, you know, before. We're a real team now. We have a team with our Cube group, we have an actual team through Comic Town, and we have a team through the podcast.
Okay? Right.
Now, obviously, one of us in the podcast is much better than the others. Obviously, one person in the Cube group is much better than all of us. Okay?
Yeah.
And ostensibly, the Comic Town group as well. Okay.
Right.
And that one isn't me. That's definitely Dave.
Oh, no, that's one of the podcasts, right? Is that... No?
Bankroll, son.
Yeah, you gotta have results.
Yeah, this game's made up. So 100 bucks isn't enough? So no,
it's not. It's not.
You got about a...
I gotta pay taxes this year.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Of income greater than 500, which feels like, yeah, I did this. Oh, shit, I don't have to do that. but in all seriousness, like, you... I think sometimes you also have to remember that, you know, it's... You're going to have your bad runs, but if you're playing for the, you know, we're doing this as a team, right? We test as a team, we let cards out as a team, we discuss theory as a team, okay? We went to five out of six PTQs in the summer,
mm-hmm.
And that was exhausting. And I was bothered. There was a couple I was in a great, you know, great situation in the top eight. That was my goal. Didn't do it. My only top eight in the PTQ still is a Return to Ravnica sealed tournament. You know what I mean? And I feel like I'm much better constructed than I am in limited. So that bothered me. But when we go out this huge drive, and then Dave comes out, who he's tested with, he's borrowing our cards, and he goes and wins a PTQ in the same format we've been testing for weeks.
That's cool.
I mean, you've got to look at it in that way as well. You know what I mean? Like, if we're testing and, you know, the last few weeks it's been, you know, myself and Dave who've been doing pretty well, well, hold on. You know what I mean? Your testing will show off, and you'll be able to turn that corner, too. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's so many choices to go in with this. You know, the deck you're playing. You know, maybe it's just not the right deck for you. Dave, like Asper said, it was a great deck, refuses to play it because he doesn't like the magics. Doesn't like playing that type of magic. You know what I mean? And up until now, you've never played that kind of magic before.
Right.
Control decks are not fun to play. Okay? They're awesome when you're winning. Miserable when you're losing.
That's the thing, man.
Okay? Because you have every answer in your deck. And either you draw them all, and you're just like a god. You're just like... Oh, did you think we were playing Magic? Oh, I'm sorry. Counter this, destroy this, draw all these cards, gain this life.
It is the best feeling in the world.
Right.
Knowing no matter what you play, it doesn't matter.
But when you draw two Thought Seizes against your opponent who already has three creatures in play because we're playing Mono Red, and you just want to throw your deck across the room, it's the same deck. You know what I mean? And you really haven't played that much before. Midrange has the ability to do that, but you're still your game plan is to still play a creature and attack with it.
Right.
That isn't
right.
your game plan, and that's for until the end. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would say, I already told you. I told you to play something really crazy for FNM just to have some fun. But maybe start looking at other decks. Definitely don't sell your deck right now. I mean, the fact that you were even considering that when we're a month away from the standard PTQ season, when the staples go up in price, like that, you're just looking at bad value, bro.
Right.
But maybe look at some other decks in the standard. Between my deck and, you know, the devotion decks we have players running and even the mono red deck, you have some decks that you'd be like, hey, can I trade your deck for a night? You mean
right?
That would happen, and you could just try something new. do something that's reducing your... You know, if you play a match where you're with a deck you're not as familiar with, like I said, if you play with a really crazy deck, it naturally allows you to feel less attached emotionally to the win or the loss, right? Like,
sure.
Okay, I lost. I don't know this deck that well. That's fine. Because you right now are at a peak of emotional attachment and are adding stress to that. So it's just like,
right.
Every win is like your life, and every loss is like your death. You know, you're just like, well, this is the one. This is the one where I just walk out into traffic. I'm going to walk out the doors of the convention center, and I'm not even going to press the walk button, and the little bird's going to chirp, and I'm going to die, and that's what's going to happen. Okay? And then they're going to hit me, and my car's going to fly up, and it'll be like John Woo and little doves. It's like, ca-caw, 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 boom! It's all slow motion, if you didn't figure this out, you know? I mean, you'll get more air than you ever had in your entire life. I mean, that's for the best. But
I can't jump, so there's that. I got that going for me.
But all seriousness, you've got to do something to reduce your where you're at mentally with it. You've got to take a step back and say, okay, you know, not to stop assessing how you're doing, not to get, you're going to get upset about losses. I mean, you are. I mean, there's it wasn't a PTQ. I think it was an IQ where I had to play. We had a father and son who were coming to our local shop for a while.
Yes, correct.
That did not bathe, and the father did not tell the son not to touch other people's things.
It was rough. It was a.
Talk about the kid that when he would shuffle your deck, he was just like jamming.
Yes,
correct.
Pieces together.
And
when he would mash your card, he would literally mash your cards. It was bad.
And I was playing Nye at the time, and we were playing a mirror match, and it was the first round. And he was playing very slowly, and he drew much better than me. And there was 70 or 80 people in the room, you know, because it was full. We had tables everywhere, so it's hot, it smells, and he finally like ends up, you know, this bonfire area. He ends up bonfiring me out. And, like, I went outside of the comic town and I screamed curse words. I mean, all the smokers were out there staring at me, and I'm just like, ah! You know what I mean? That wasn't very controlling of big tears, but that's gonna happen sometime. But I came back in and still did well, you know, still prized in that event and was okay with myself. So you've got to be able to take that emotion, you know, emotion's gonna ride high for a little bit, get rid of it, wash it away. I don't like the idea of totally ignoring, like, okay, this is a every match is another match, play better than the last one, but understand why in a game level, not why in an emotional level. So the question needs to be, why did I lose that? Not like, why is this happening to me?
Right.
Because that's what the question is right now. Is why is this happening?
Sure.
Not why. Yeah. Why is the game going like this?
Right.
Yeah, and it's definitely an interesting concept to look at. And I think I could probably do a little bit better by taking my losses a little more seriously than what I do sometimes. I think that I might let things kind of slide off a little bit too much, and I don't necessarily focus on why I lost. I just kind of move on. So it could, you know, do me some good to not, you know, just kind of let everything slide off and really analyze my play. Something I know that I do that will make me a better player is looking forward into the match rather than just looking like, you know, what I'm going to be doing, like actually looking turns ahead and what could happen and, you know, playing around things that are obvious. Maybe I could start doing that. That would probably be pretty good for me as a player. I don't know. But
Morgan made a very bad block in the IQ.
That's true.
He didn't play around pretty much the only card that he should be playing around, and probably lost to it. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. And like for me, like that's probably like way you're probably right. For me, that's way too far at the end of the spectrum. Like Jordan's all the way again. See, maybe I'm the one who's actually at the middle of the boat.
Maybe
because Jordan's all the way at the one end, like about to jump in with the like while he's hugging the anchor. Like I'm the only, I'm in the middle. Who's like, all right, guys. Calmly assess what's going on. Don't let the big TVs get the best of you. And then Morgan's on the back of the boat, like where the bar is. He's just like, it's like, lost another one. Another drink.
I'm pretty casual about it.
Well, yeah, because our walk to Subway. If you've ever been to Columbus Convention Center, like Subway is forever away from the Magic area, and like
fat forever away or people forever away.
It's a pretty good distance.
It's a good walk. Okay. Yeah,
it's a fair
walk.
Distance.
You ever been to the Bucor there?
No, I know.
Okay.
I know the answer to the question. I'm just like,
okay. And, like, I'm, like, still kind of fuming a little bit. I'm just, like, bitching. And Morgan's like, yeah, I mean, whatever. Maybe you just, like, take a break. Maybe do something else on Friday. Whatevs. I mean, who cares? And, like, Morgan and I come from such a different, like, mental background that I can't even understand. I'm like, I want to kill a small child right now. And you were just, like, asking me to go do something different on a Friday.
Morgan's like, maybe go home. Put on some records, you know. Real vinyl, okay? vintage headphones. And just... Just
yeah,
you
have to listen to your music in analog. You can't listen to this digital bullshit. What are you doing?
That's why I have anger problems.
Right, clearly. You will hear the true hum of analog, and then it'll calm your soul.
See, he tries to hide it, but like you just like talk like that, and the hipster just comes pouring out.
Just comes right out.
He has dinosaur shoes,
by the way. But, yeah, God. They have dinosaur bones.
Oh, is that because they're older? Like he's had them before anyone else has had them?
They've had them so long that the actual icons on them have decayed and have now become just bones. Correct. You got me. Genius. No, but that's definitely something that I can improve on. Also, like, a horrible thing that's happened to me and something that I kind of might write about is that, like, things outside of Magic have just caused me to not be able to play Magic as much as I used to. And, like...
This cat's very controlling.
That's very true. he is demanding. But, like, you know, what road you take when that happens? Like, when work or what have you changes how you... play Magic, like, what do you do to counterbalance that or, you know, work with that? So that's something that is happening to me right now, and it's you know, work-related. It's not anything, like, tragic or anything like that, so I don't want you guys, you know, starting rumors. But, no, it's just work, and my work schedule changed. So it's definitely hard for me because I know that I'm not going to be playing as much paper Magic as I might want, but... I will probably be shifting over to Modo, which is just a terrible time to do that. So, yay!
Great! Buy 3-1-1s for days!
No! But, and that's how I want to, you know, focus on, you know, potentially trying to improve my game is through that avenue, because I won't have FNM, or, you know, regular testing hours, just because I work, you know, later than most people that are in our group. So, hopefully that's where I'll be able to focus that and maybe get a better balanced, what's the best word? Better balanced,
breakfast.
Hopefully, temperament is the word I'm looking for. A better balanced temperament.
Yeah, you need to care more, you need to care less.
Yeah, we should just trade. I don't know. I guess it's a good thing that we have this, though, so we can analyze it and see how different people view the game.
And I'm perfect, so...
Correct. Mike, you don't need to do anything. So we'll go ahead and kind of move on here. We'll skip on the question of the week at this point in time, just so we'll save that till when we record next. We'll just kind of move into shoutouts here real quick. Yeah, to be continued, exactly. Now, being that next week is going to be a holiday week, we likely will not be podcasting at this next week. So sorry, we'll definitely spend time with your family. Don't listen to our dumbasses. What are you doing? It's Thanksgiving, guys.
Don't tell Mom and Dad about us.
Please don't.
I'd like to take this moment to apologize to turkeys everywhere because I'm going to violate so many members of your family.
That doesn't sound appropriate.
Well, I'm going to eat them.
Turkeys?
Okay, that's fine.
Turkey. Jive turkey?
Not jive turkeys. You know how hard those are to catch?
Dancing and grooving all over the place.
Like, regular turkeys walk up to you, and those ones got like you have to hunt where there are disco balls. Which, I mean,
that's very difficult. Makes
it, where is that? Right?
I mean, it's just not sensible.
No, not at all. Like, anyway, let's get off this. Let's get off this topic. Now we do have some new content at yourinstep.com. That's also where you can find, you know, all of our, you know, Twitter information, everything like that. That's definitely up there. So please check out both Jordan and Mike have articles up there. Please read them, comment on them. Do they really depend on a daily basis.
We just want to know you read it. That's all we care about.
You have a bunch of like likes. I was like,
it doesn't
cool.
even.
Did you like the title? Like, what did you like about it?
Yeah. So just please, they definitely want to have a discussion about, you know, the ideas that they're presenting.
Jordan's this week was about his tilting, and I was just ranting about what if the BCS were like Magic.
Yeah.
So if you have no interest in sports ball, you have no idea what's going on. But
I mean, I've read both articles; both are really good. And I guess I definitely
and
do.
And he's contributed nothing. So.
Yeah, Morgan's posted a month ago.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not a writer. Like I do want to attempt at writing an article, and I will probably have Mike look at it, make sure I don't sound like an idiot. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'm sorry that if you guys are you're really chomping at the bit for more content from Morgan. I don't think that's happening, though.
Guys, week 34, still haven't played Magic.
Yeah, I wonder, what are you bringing now? You don't play Magic, you don't give any content. I mean, your voice is fine, but it's... Buddy, you gotta pick up a new talent. I don't care if it's juggling.
This is what I wanted to tell you. The question of the week is... Who would you like as a new podcast host? Right?
Would you like,
you guys like me, right?
Would you like American Idol? Right?
I don't know. I got nothing. Listen, follow us on Twitter. Check out the website. please do so. We also have our Facebook page. Please check that out. We're always here. We definitely, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, please feel free to tweet us, write us, email us, what have you. We're here for you guys. If you guys have anything for us, ways to improve. Obviously, we definitely talked a lot about coverage. So, hey, if you think that there's a way for us to improve the podcast, let us know. But again, thank you so much for listening at Your Instep, and we'll catch you in a couple weeks. Bye.